Gang, I'd like to welcome new sponsor, True Hemp Science, full spectrum CBD products to the show. Now, gang, I've been using these products for a couple of months now, namely their number 81 Relax and Sleep CBD oil. You can find them at truehempscience.com. Now, listen, gang. They create handcrafted quality, full-spectrum CBD products by sourcing the highest-grade hemp from around the world. All unique, all top quality. They offer a complete line of CBD products, including full-spectrum CBD oils, tinctures, CBD skincare lotions, CBD sports rubs, which I've been using, CBD gummies, which I tried, and they're absolutely fantastic, and the CBD gluten-free chocolates. By choosing True Hemp Science, you know it's going to be good, so you can stay focused. Now, gang, I was having some trouble sleeping, and I was having some pain in, like, the palm of my hands, both of my hands. It was weird, and it was getting weird when I was playing. And a couple of months ago, I was at a farmer's market, and I ran into this guy, Simon, and his and he was out there with the True Hemp Science, like, booth. And I got together and started talking with him, and I got some balm for my hands to try and, like, ease the pain, and the pain actually went away. And I ended up getting the number 81 Relax and Sleep True Hemp Science CBD oil. It's a full-spectrum CBD oil. It's absolutely fantastic. I've been sleeping like a baby. This last weekend, I went to Vegas to play a show, and we got in the night before. I was up really late, and I woke up really early, and I was having a hard time trying to get a nap in before this big show we were playing for this convention. And I had a couple of drops of this CBD oil, number 81, the Relax and Sleep thing, and it helped me sleep for 4 hours. And listen, gang, I've been waking up really, really rested, like feeling like I had slept. You know, like not waking up like, oh my God, what do I have to do? Or like waking up like, oh, I need to sleep more. It's like I wake up, I stretch, and I just feel like, wow, I really slept. Go to truehempscience.com and use the code HDIGH and get something special. Purchase $65 worth of regular price products and receive 296 milligrams of their number 81 distillate. Number 81 is great for rest, relaxation, and sleep. That's the one I'm talking about. That's the one that's been helping me sleep, helping me wake up rested, and feeling ready to take on the day. Focused and ready to go. That's True Hemp Science. Find them at truehempscience.com. Now listen, gang, for the next few weeks, I'll be telling you about some other products I've been using, even their CBG. They're number 41. Boy, that one really gives you focus and gets you ready to take on your day. But right now, I'm telling you, go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. Use the code HDIGH, and with your $65 purchase, you'll receive 296 milligrams of the number 81, which is great for rest, relaxation, and sleep. Go to truehempscience.com. This stuff really works, you guys. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
When we talk.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Happy Monday. I am dropping three shows again this week. I know. Happy South by Southwest. People are getting into it, starting to do it, man. Parties are starting. Today is Monday. I'm actually going to a party today at noon and a party tonight. How exciting is that? Super. It is exciting, man. South by's here. We're actually in person again after 2 years off with no South by Southwest. We're back. It feels like it's a little bit smaller. It's a little more intimate, a little more like what people used to like most about South by Southwest, the people that have been going for years. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to enjoying it. I'm actually doing this podcast on Friday before it comes out because I got a lot of shit going on this weekend. And then I'm going to visit family out of town from Saturday afternoon until Monday morning. So this is coming out on its own. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Jeff Grounds, the founder of Descent Records, is my guest today. We had a fantastic talk by the pool and by the lake on a beautiful, beautiful spring day. We talked about the bands that he has on there, the Deadcoats, Rule Thomas, Blaze Black, Jake Lloyd. The Deadcoats actually won Best Rock Band at the Austin Music Awards. Yeah. Jeff and I have a great conversation. He's a really cool guy, a really great guy with such passion for music that he started a label to support bands. He started out managing bands, but in 2020, he started Descent Records to start putting out music. And it's interesting because there is like a whole group of people that have started labels here in Austin, and they're doing really cool shit. And the thing about it is it's not like on paper the best time to start a label as like, well, oh man, it's hard to make money off of music and recorded music. But you know what? These guys are so passionate that they're just trying to get that music out there. And they're doing it with that "if you build it, they will come" vibe. And Jeff and I have a fantastic conversation. What an interesting guy and what a cool guy. I did notice that I was supposed to put this show out last week. They had a big party at Kick Butt and on March 11th. And I did not put this out in time. So sorry, Jeff. But anyway, the label's great. Their bands are all great. And congratulations to the Deadcoats for winning Best Rock Band at the Austin Music Awards. Go to Descent Records to find out when all of their bands are playing. That's the Deadcoats, Rule Thomas, Blaze Black, and Jake Lloyd. That's their roster thus far. They'll be releasing a vinyl later this year. The Deadcoats have a brand new video for their song Fire Again, which you will hear here on the podcast. And yeah, enjoy my conversation with this really cool dude, Jeff Grounds, founder of Descent Records. Let's get down.
Even though I went back and got my GED, I actually left high school when I was like right after I turned 16. So
What made you do that? Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was like a combination of, I just kind of had like a really terrible like home life. And so I was already kind of like basically just like checking out of school, like, you know, not showing up a lot. I was, you know, getting into fights. I was, you know, just doing, I was in like a punk rock band. So I was just, you know, doing my thing. And eventually, like, they just got to the point to where they called like a meeting with my parents, and they're like, okay, well, you know, he's not going to be like able to come back this year because of, you know, A, B, and C or whatever. And so at that point in time, like, I was honestly like ready to get out of my mom and stepdad's house at the time anyways. So I just made a decision that I would go to like Job Corps in San Marcos, Job Corps, if you're familiar with that. But it's like a program where people go and just basically learn, you know, learn trades. They can get their high school diploma. They can get like their driver's license, all kinds of stuff. So I was able to go there and like kind of live there in San Marcos, get my, you know, diploma, do all that. And then, I basically went from there to Dallas, and I was like actually working in my trade. I was like a union member, like working as like a bricklayer, like a brick and stone mason. Did that till I was like 19, and I was just sitting there. It was like 110 degrees outside, and I was like I was like I'm not doing this like anymore. Like and like I joined the Navy so I could get like money for school, because I was just like, there's no way like I can, you know, do this for like another 10-15 years. This is just like miserable, like being outside all day every day in Texas. It was just bad. Yeah. So,
yeah. Manual labor in June, July, August, or September in Texas is pretty.
And, brutal. You know, it's, you know, I've known a lot of like tradesmen over the course of my life. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, they're very proud of their work and stuff like that. But, you know, if you talk to like a lot of them, you know, that are 40, 50 years old, they'll advise you, you know, hey, it gets pretty rough, you know, getting up and doing this when you're like 50 years old,
yeah.
You know?
So, yeah. I had very rough times growing up as well. There's a connection to music. I feel like people like us have when you like, is that what?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Is that where you went for safety?
I mean,
comfort?
I would sit there with, I had like a boombox, like CD player, yeah. And I had these little headphones. I'd plug them in,
yeah.
And I would literally just play it so loud that I couldn't hear any like screaming and yelling. I couldn't hear like,
that's what was going on. Know. A lot of fighting in the house.
Yeah. A lot of fighting, but it was just also, it was very, you know, like my stepdad was in the military and, you know, he just wasn't like equipped to be like a parent. And all of a sudden he had like four kids, that came from my mom. And so, and my mom on the flip side was not equipped to be a parent. She had her kids, bam, 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 like very young.
You've been through some therapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's where the not equipped
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I say the same thing about my peers. Yeah, yeah. That's the word that I use. I notice that only people that have been through therapy, other people are like, my mom's a fucking bitch or my dad's a fucking asshole.
No, I'd be,
but guys like us are like, oh, you know, they weren't really equipped with it. And it's true, because they weren't.
They weren't, yeah. And I would be really unhappy right now if I hadn't pursued therapy and things like that, because, I mean, I wouldn't have, like, worked some of these things out. I mean, there's so many things that I mean, there were things that it took me decades, even when I was like sure of certain things, it took me decades for certain things to just like appear in my mind. It's hard to explain, but I remember like one day I was just like thinking about A, B, and C, and at the time I still had sort of like an off and on again relationship with my mother, and I remember her just sending me this text, and for some reason when she sent me that text at that moment, like everything just clicked, and I was like I was like we don't really have like a, you know, there's really no sort of like, you know, mother-son relationship here. It's just kind of like a situation where, you know, like she wants like what she can, like she wants the good stuff of like having kids.
Right.
And she didn't want any of the bad stuff.
Right.
Like she wants you to tell her happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But she doesn't, you know, she didn't want to be there to teach you how to do math or, you know, whatever.
Right. Right.
Like whatever
right.
you needed help with, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. That's kind of how it was. So yeah, I mean, I got to the point to where it sounds weird to say, but I remember being like 16 and I was like, I feel like I know like better what to do with my life and how to proceed forward than these like adults who are supposed to be like guiding me can help me with, you know. Yeah. I feel like if I listen to their advice, I'm going to go down the wrong path, which is like, it's just kind of crazy to think about like your parents being the that you've got to like, you know, separate yourself from them so you don't go down the wrong path.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I definitely wasn't interested in like living that sort of like, you know, just angry lifestyle, just being angry all the time, complaining all the time. That's sort of how it was. And you sort of get sucked into that mindset. And if I would have like stayed, you know, around that, I would have stayed in that mindset that just sort of like, you know, like life is bad. Everything's going to go wrong. Everybody's out to get you, you know, that kind of stuff. Just paranoia about, you know, politics, about whatever. I mean, that's sort of like their lifestyle, just like really closed off or whatever. And so I was lucky enough to travel, you know, around a lot and travel across the country. And, you know, when I got into the Navy, I ended up going to like 35 different countries. And I just learned something each and every time. Like I would go, I mean, I would have just all these experiences. I would go somewhere and you'd see what was going on the ground, and then you'd also be watching CNN on the ship, and you would see what CNN was saying or Fox News or somebody, and you would literally be watching what was happening, and you're like, you're like, they're actually like reporting like really like inaccurate things right now. Like that's not, and so you just kind of like learn a lot. You go to all these other countries and you realize that, oh, wait a second, like, everybody doesn't think America just fucking rocks and is the best. Like,
yeah.
I had no clue, you know?
Yeah.
Like you go there and you realize that and then you just realize, you know, how like we kind of treat other countries and stuff like that. I remember talking to this tour guide in Egypt one time, and she was telling me how she loves, you know, teaching people about Egypt and stuff and taking like these Americans around. But she was like, a lot of times, you know, it really hurts my feelings because, you know, I'll like overhear them saying stuff, you know, about Egypt, like it smells or, you know, this is dirty or things like that.
I hate that.
Yeah. And so it was just like, you just kind of learn all that stuff from going to the countries and from going to these different states. And I you know, you take those things with you. And then when you do go back to these different situations, I mean, you just feel like it's like completely alien to you now, like the way that they think about something, the way that they, you know, behave in a certain situation. You're like, you know, I've been to all these, you know, I've had all these different situations. Like, I know that's not how you're supposed to, you know, behave, you know? So it was great. I mean, I wouldn't have traded. I would have never stayed in the military as like a career, had no interest in doing it as a career, but I wouldn't trade like the 5 years that I was in for like anything, because I met some like really amazing people. I saw some, I had the chance to do just unbelievable things. Like, you know, we were on one deployment, we came back, and then there was this giant earthquake in Haiti that happened, where just like a ton of people died. And we were actually on the East Coast, so we were the closest ship that could report down to, you know, this earthquake.
And I mean, like in 2010?
Yeah, right?
I believe
it was 2010. Yeah. And so we were the closest ones. And so literally we all got called back. And then like 3 days after it happened, our ship was like pulling up to port. I mean, it was just completely devastated. The whole, the infrastructure had completely like collapsed. You saw so much stuff in that situation too. You saw how France had, you know, colonized this area, you know, so long ago, and then just left them like with nothing. Right. You know, and just pulled out and like left the infrastructure like this and every, and no wonder everybody.
Those are the vacuums that people talk about, like Afghanistan now and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Afghanistan in 1980, whatever, when they started the Taliban.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like they just, I mean, well, yeah, you look at something like, you know, it's like the Soviets actually trained like so many of these different, you know, terrorist like organizations, like trained a lot of these people, gave them weapons, did all this stuff, and then they pulled out. And then there's just all these people here that are left, like, you know, it's crazy. People don't really think about it, but imagine being in it, like you're just you don't know anything about the world. You like wake up one day, you're 7, 8 years old or whatever, and all you know about the world is that there's these people that are dropping bombs everywhere, like around you. That's all you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, maybe you do grow up really mad at the people who are dropping bombs everywhere around you, you know, like how would you feel? Like, what if it was like Austin or whatever,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like if you were living in Austin and every day when you woke up, like France was dropping bombs and killing your friends and stuff like that, how would you feel?
Yeah. Have some hatred for it. So after the Navy, did you come back here or did you go somewhere else?
Actually, so after the Navy, I had already gotten like 2 years of college done while I was in the Navy. I was just kind of going to school.
That's
at
awesome.
Night. And and I had a GI Bill. So I at the time I was dating a girl who was going to be going to Cornell Veterinarian School. So I applied to Ithaca and went to college. I went to the business school at Ithaca. So I was in upstate New York for a couple of years, finishing that up, you know, got a master's and stuff like that. And really, enjoyed my experience.
What did you get
Ithaca.
Your master's in?
Just business administration.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a dual like
the MBA.
Management and marketing, basically.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, did that. And then I had moved right after college. I had moved down to New York City and I started working for this educational like technology company that was on Long Island, and stayed there and did that for a little while. And then I was literally just like, I'm not going to be able to get any of these things done that I want to accomplish. Like I wanted to buy a house. It wasn't going to happen anytime soon in Long Island, New York City. I wanted to start a company. It wasn't going to happen anytime soon in Long Island, New York City. So I just kind of looked at my situation, and I had lived in Austin before, you know, I mean, I have lots of roots in Texas and in Austin and, San Marcos and Dallas and all those places. So I just said, you know what, I've just got to, I'm either going to stay here and like put in my full whatever, or I need to just cut ties right now and head on down to Austin and start my stuff there. So I applied for a job at Dell. Got the job and literally just I loaded up my car with everything that would fit. Had a little spot for my guinea pig that I had at the time, G-Pig, and threw her in there. And like literally with my guinea pig, we just drove all the way from New York City to Austin, man. Had a great time. And I got here and then just started working at Dell and kind of just immediately started kind of, you know, getting back like my network of contacts in Austin and stuff. I mean, because, you know, I mean, it had been so long at that point in time, you know, that I had worked with bands in Austin or I had book shows in Austin or whatever it had been, that I had to kind of start over in a lot of ways in certain areas, you know.
When you were here booking shows before, when was that?
The
first time.
Yeah, probably the first show like I ever played myself in Austin, I was like 13. So that was like, oh God, it's been so long. I mean, I'm 34 now. So I mean, yeah, the first show I ever played in
like 2001 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing, like, I mean, back when I was like playing and I was like trying to like book little shows and stuff, I was playing places like Red Blood Club in Dallas and you know, places like that. I mean, places that are long, you know,
long gone.
Yeah, long gone. So yeah. But I came back here and I settled in, and I've actually been back in the area for, you know, over 7 years now. And that's actually the longest like extended period of time that I've ever lived anywhere for like a sustained amount of time in my life. So finally, like, I'm kind of back in the place where I felt like I belonged. I mean, you know, I got
still working for Dell.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I would love to you know, eventually fully be able to focus. But yeah, I mean, the Dell's been great to me. You know, I can't. It's been a great career. I've had a lot of luck with, you know, being able to move up since I've gotten there and stuff like that, and kind of just working hard and stuff. In fact, I'm up for like a promotion there coming up. So, but I mean, my number one love, you know, will always be music. I mean, I definitely felt, I feel like driven to do this. I feel, you know, driven to like help, artists. Like I see what, they need, and they don't necessarily know they need, or, you know, they don't know how to get started on it. And I can just kind of pinpoint those things and help them. And it doesn't really matter what level they're at. Like, you know, we could take somebody like the Deadcoats, who, you know, maybe they're playing at, you know, Lost Well for 15 people, and we can, you know, take them up to the point to where they're getting, you know, nominated for Best Rock Band at the AMAs. Or we can take somebody like Jake Lloyd, who we just signed, who's already nominated for AMAs, and start at that level and go up. So, you know, that's kind of the plan right now.
Okay, so you moved here 7 years ago, you start working for Dell, you start reestablishing your contacts with people. And so what made you, I know we talked before briefly,
sure,
but let's go ahead and go over, like, what made you want to start this, like, what made you say, like, obviously you want to help people,
right?
But it was the Deadcoats that inspired you to start this label?
No. I had, you know, I already had the plans in place to start a label, and I was really just trying to figure out what the first band I was going to work with was going to be, like, under the label. What was the first vinyl that I was going to work with? So I went out and talked to, you know, several different artists, really, like, took my time. But I also got to know, I really, like, tried to befriend the members of the Deadcoats and, like, get to know them as people and also as, like, as a band. I mean, there's lots of things that you have to worry about when you're investing money into people. You know, are they going to be able to stay together? Do they have the sort of, like, commitment and drive it takes, all that kind of stuff? And basically just got to the point to where I felt really, really comfortable with the Deadcoats as a band and really felt like they deserve the push and they deserve the help. And so I picked them to start the label with.
It's a killer band. I can tell you the first time I ever heard them was I went to go drop something off or pick something up at the Bubble, and they were recording.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Frenchie's been a great help to us. He's been a great help to the Deadcoats too. He definitely gave them some great advice why they were recording, and, you know, he was helping them out before they even started the recording. You know, he was doing, like, practice sessions with them and getting the songs really tight. So
that's what it takes.
Yeah. He really put the time in, you know, and he's got a great record that's all finished up right now with Rule that he recorded too. So Rule Thomas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
He did the whole album, and he's actually got a single coming out fairly soon called Supposed to Be.
Okay.
That's actually going to be, like, the single that's literally, like, dropping fairly soon. That's going to be the next vinyl that comes out, Rule Thomas.
Okay.
The next vinyl after that, which we're about to put an order in for shortly, is going to be Blaze X Black. Now, you're not familiar with them, you know, they're kind of, you know, really old school, like, Houston hip-hop group.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, they did that for, like, a long time, but they've also got, like, a live band. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, they're so great, like, when you hear their songs, but nothing compares to, like, hearing them with, like, the live band and hearing them do their, like, live show and stuff like that. Just imagine you're just eating, like, a wonderful, like, ice cream right now, and you're like, wow, this is, like, really delightful. That's how you would feel if you were, like, watching Blaze X Black before, man. They, you know, they're just energetic, they're happy, you can tell that they love what they do, you know. I mean, they've just got a great stage presence.
Well, it's cool. Houston hip-hop isn't that happy, though.
Yeah, I know. They're, it's kind of, I mean, they you know, Blaze and stuff, they've always got, like, a smile on their face.
That's
though.
Good.
But yeah. No, they, I've always loved Houston music. I mean, even when I was younger, like, I listened to, like, a lot of artists from Houston, both in the rock scene and the hip-hop scene.
Who?
Oh, man.
The Suffers? You like those guys?
Yeah, or, like, I mean, as far as hip-hop, I used to be, like, a massive Scarface fan.
Yeah.
I was just a big Scarface fan. Was really into that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I've always liked Houston music. I mean, I like Dallas music, too, but Dallas, it's kind of strange. Like, I don't know. I mean, it felt like, you know, there was a couple of, like, great, you know, you had, like, Power Trip and stuff like that. But back when I was really, like, playing in Dallas and stuff like that, there's, like, the bands that were big aren't even around anymore. Like, I remember, like, one of the biggest bands at the time was, like, Damage Case. And I have no idea what happened to the band, but they were, like, it was almost like a metal punk band. And, I have no idea. I mean, a lot of those bands are just gone. There was this big punk band in San Antonio called Red Reverse. And they were, like, for a few years, they were just, like, really doing a lot of stuff, and then they just totally disappeared. I mean,
it seems like that's the nature, though, of punk. Yeah. Punk, like the... To me, the archetype is the Sex Pistols model.
Yeah.
Like, we come out, we freak you out, and then we go do other shit ourselves.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? Because there's only so long you can sustain that.
Yeah, yeah.
Intensity.
Yeah, well, and absolutely. And a lot of people, it's kind of funny with the Austin scene because there's so many, I feel like there's a lot of bands and artists where people don't even realize that this person in this band or this artist who's doing this this now used to be this person in this other sure. famous band. You know?
Do you know that guy Kevin Fowler, the country guy? The Texas country guy?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of him, but
like a big guy, like a hunting guy. Yeah. Or something. He used to be in Dangerous Toys, the metal band that sold like, you know, over a million records back in the late 80s.
You know who I find is funny that a lot of people don't know is like a lot of people don't know what Shiny Ribs used to be. You know?
Right.
Like a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah. I like a lot of people who are newer to the scene, you know, they'll be like, yeah, I remember it was just like a couple weeks ago and I was like, somebody was saying, they're like, yeah, Shiny Ribs is out, you know, they're asking online like who should open their next show or whatever. And they were all excited and stuff like that. It's like, you know who that is, right? You know that, have you ever heard this song?
Yeah.
And I was like, have you ever heard this cover song? And they're like, yeah, everybody's heard that cover song. And I was like, yeah, that's who it is. That's Shiny Ribs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, at least one of them.
Yeah, right.
So, when you decided to start a label, it was to help bands and stuff like that. And there's a thing that you were talking about that Frenchie was doing with the Dead Coats and with Rule Thomas, and that's development, which is a thing that I've kind of seen kind of go away, because even in the time of like in the 90s and stuff, when I was very active and reaching for a brass ring, there was a lot of bands that would get, like, you know, Beaver Nelson, like he got a development deal from Columbia or something like that, which is they gave you money to do demos and kind of saw if you were getting it together on
see
your
what
own
the deal is,
see if they were going to invest more money into it. But when you started your label, there's there's labels here that have, Modern Outsider was a great, I don't know if they're still doing stuff. Space Flight's great. There's all kinds of great, your label's really cool. And, what was the idea? Like a Sub Pop kind of, or even more obscure than that?
Yeah. I mean, I think with my label, like I always wanted it to like reflect my own personal taste. I mean, like I'm a huge like vinyl collector, and I knew for like a long time that eventually like what I was doing like in the background of music was going to lead to like, you know, wanting to start something like that, wanting to start a company, wanting to do it. So, I mean, I think the idea was essentially just that, like, I'm huge on lyrics. I'm huge on like the authenticity of like the music and stuff like that. So I'm not necessarily looking for certain styles. I'm looking the same way
for greatness.
Yeah, the same way I look at music, the same reason I buy certain vinyls from all these different styles and stuff like that. It's because this album is great.
Yeah.
This artist is great. Yeah. Like they it doesn't matter that they're this style of music. Like they are doing their own thing. And if you really look at the people on our label, we have like a lot of like artists, like our four artists, right, that really can't be put in a box. I mean, you know, Jake Lloyd, you can't throw him in a box. You can't just say he's like hip hop. You can't just say, I mean, they've got like, you know, a live band and they do certain stuff that's like, you know, hip hop or certain stuff that's alt rock. Or, I mean, I saw them at Far Out, you know, not too long ago, and, you know, they're playing, you know, a cover of Baby Hit Me One More Time. Like that's the kind of stuff, like you can't put that in a box. You can't call the Dead Coats like a punk band. You can't call Rule Thomas like a country singer or like a folk singer, because he likes different stuff and he likes to experiment. Blaze X Black is the same way. And so, I mean, if there's any like consistency to the artists that we, you know, put on the label, it's like people that are wanting to experiment, that can't be put in a box, that like different, you know, styles of music and stuff like that, because that's who I am as a person.
Right. Are you a fan of like Creation Records?
And
like LMV and stuff
records.
Like that?
Yeah.
There's always like those guys that like, I'm going to do this. And then they do it. And like, they just make fucking amazing shit, you know, are just like people that have good enough taste to be able to say like, oh yeah, this is good.
I think I hate to say it, but I really, you know, I do think that like your taste in music is going to be like, if you want to be, whether you're picking out bands to manage or you're starting a record label or you're doing whatever you're doing in music, I mean, you've got to have like good taste yourself. And I know, I mean, there's plenty of people that are really into music that I know where like, I like, you know, their taste or whatever, you know, I'm just sitting there like, wow, you know, it's like, you know, you haven't really like expanded your listening, you know, over the course of your life yet. You know, it's like, I just go from thing to thing to thing to thing, because I'm always trying to like find somebody new that's great, you know, and something that's great. So it's like, I can't imagine like like my consistent like listening thing being the exact same like bands and songs that I was listening to when I was like 17, you know.
Yeah.
There's just so much coming up.
Right, but you have the same reverence for music that people a couple of generations before you had.
Absolutely.
Because the connection to music now isn't the same as it was like when I was a kid and I was coming up. Like there wasn't a lot of choices of other shit to do, you know?
Yeah. It really is interesting, like how different it is and stuff like that. And you know, luckily I still love having that like real personal connection with an album by, you know, buying vinyls and stuff like that. I love putting on an album and like listening to the whole first side, flipping it, listening to the whole second side, not skipping anything. Like I mean, there's certain artists that it's like the way they make their album, it's an entire experience. And if you don't listen to it like that, you don't really get the experience. Like a band, one of my favorite all time bands is the Fleece Brothers. And that's like to me, that's a perfect example of a band that they just have they're currently on they've been on a few different labels. I believe they're currently doing stuff through Merge, or it might be Fat Possum, but yeah, they
a cool label, Merge.
Yeah. Oh, I love Merge, and that was like one of the you know, the labels that I looked at for like a long time, and was like, okay, well, Merge can do this. They can, you know, have different acts and they can have different styles and stuff. But yeah, you know, I mean, that they just have that the way that it's specifically the Ian Felice, who's like the main songwriter. He writes all his albums in a way that you're not going to get the full experience unless you listen to it like that, because all the songs kind of like feed off of each other in a way where it builds up and everything like that, and you've got to listen to it in the way he intended. So I love having that personal experience of being like a vinyl collector. And you know, it just so happens that, you know, vinyl is, I mean, I was collecting vinyls, you know, when I was younger, when it was still when the sales were still you know, pretty low, but it just so happens now it's just absolutely going through the roof to a point to where, you know, it's extremely hard. Like we're going to put like three or four vinyls on order this year, and it's likely that, you know, many of them are, I mean, you could go anywhere from 2 to 6 months like of getting these back.
It's getting bad. Yeah. Do you use what do you call them?
Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Actually, the Dead Coats album we did through Hand Drawn in Dallas, but all the albums that we're putting in this year are going to go through Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that got, there was that fire thing that happened at the Lacquer Place a couple years ago.
Right.
And then everybody wanted to make vinyl under quarantine.
It's worldwide now. And, because so many of the plant, like the vinyl pressing plants were closed down for so long. Once it came back, like all the preference goes to major label artists. So you're sitting in there doing 100,000 copies of Adele's album. You know, you're not going to have time to do 200, you know, for me, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And they do, like every once in a while you go in there, they're doing like a Radiohead record or something.
Right. Yeah. That's what, I mean, I remember I was talking to somebody directly and they were like, well, I mean, to be honest with you, we literally have like just weeks and weeks and weeks worth of pressing like one artist like coming up, you know? Yeah. So.
So you started this label in 2020.
Right, yeah.
So what was going on? Obviously, we know what was going on. When you started it, like, were you like, okay, well, we're all quarantined, we're in lockdown, let's do this now? Or had you been starting it before?
No, I mean, so we just kind of had, like, the worst luck with that, because we started everything up, and we had everything ready to go, and we did our launch party. The launch party went great. We did it at Spider House. And had some bands play, had a great night. Then a week later, we did we have this Not South by Southwest show that we do, and that was like our very first time doing it. We did that, and then literally like two days later or something like that, that's when really like the main shutdown started. And so it was almost like we literally launched, and then a week later all this stuff came up, you know, and we had to shut down. So basically I just had to like kind of re-navigate, and, you know, I mean, I was always going to keep my commitment to the artist that I had agreed to sign first. So I just kind of turned my attention to growing the Dead Coats, like as a band, as people. I started, you know, teaching them a lot of stuff that, you know, about like how to market themselves online. I started, you know, really like emphasizing like networking with their different, you know, different artists and different people in the community and stuff like that. And yeah, I just really sort of turned my attention towards trying to grow the band as best as I could, like during that time. And they
did a really good job.
Well, I mean, I tried when
you
they,
guys all did.
Yeah, when yeah. we when we came out of the thing and did the album release show at Empire. I mean, yeah, a lot of people were saying they're like, this is like a completely different band now, you know. And then even going from like the Empire, going from like the Empire show to like recent shows and stuff like that. I mean, they just keep growing and keep growing. So. Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I mean, I think when we do that next, we're still going to release a couple of singles from this current album. But when we do go in to record that next album, I mean, I they're so young. I mean, it's just going to keep getting better, right? So yeah. When we record that next album, I mean, we'll see, man. I mean, I love Big Wish, but this next album that we do with them, it'll probably just like because they just keep getting better at their craft.
Sure, so. Sure, that's amazing. And it's good that to be able to nurture that and be a part of something exciting and watch it grow like that. I'm sure more than anything else, that's the most exciting part.
To me, the absolute like most rewarding thing is to, I'm the type of person who does like a lot of stuff in the background and a lot of stuff like I guess you would say in the shadows and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I don't really like seek a lot of, like praise for the different things. Like I would rather the artists and the bands get the praise and stuff like
that's
that.
That's good.
But I can tell you, like when they got nominated for the Awesome Music Awards, I mean, I was losing.
My mind. It was like you were.
I was losing my mind.
Hell yeah, man.
I was so happy. Yeah. So happy. Yep. So.
So they're up for Rock Band?
Best Rock Band, yeah.
Yeah. Who else is up for that?
I think you've got like Nolan Potter, you've got Glassing, and like I think there's five total. But I think you got like Goof Fever.
Go Fever,
and like a couple of other, and I've never seen that one. Like all the other bands I've seen play live, and I've never seen Go Fever play live. But I mean, there's obviously some great artists. So we were the Dead Coats were obviously like just really proud to be nominated with that caliber of artists and all those kind of things. Of course, we all want to win, But we're obviously taking it as a victory to just get that nod,
Yeah.
So and that's the hope, right? Is that it's like we're people are seeing us, actually not just sign artists, but take artists and really bring them up, really develop them in a real way. And the hope is that next year when the AMAs roll around, like Descent's going to be getting, our own nod for like record label and stuff like that. It's totally like they're, nobody expected it this year because we haven't put out the quantity of music needed yet, right? But like next year after we have all these different albums released, I can't wait to see if we get a nod.
There's label of the year. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, label of the year. Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. And, I wasn't like in no way was I expecting to be nominated this year because you can't get nominated after we had to shut down for a year. If we had the opportunity to put out 3, 4, 5 records or whatever, yeah, maybe. But I can't wait to see the nominations come out next year. Yeah.
How have you come across all of these bands? Like, how did you come across the Dead Coats?
The Dead Coats. I mean, I go to shows, just in general in the scene and whatever, and I'll go to different shows. But I think I was just like looking at them online, like here and there, and then I finally decided, all right, like let me go, check them out live. So they were playing like the small stage at Mohawk, and I mean, this was like, I mean, I was working before we even launched. Like I had already been working with the Dead Coats for like almost 2 years, of just like kind of like developing little by little. So I had seen them play this show at like Mohawk or whatever, and I was like, I immediately Lauren's voice was like immediate to me. Like I immediately like heard that, and I was almost just like, like putting my ear to the wall. Like, yeah. Is that what I think I hear? Is that a voice? And so I heard her voice, and I was like paying attention, and then I was kind of watching Josh play guitar, and I was like, wow, I was like, he's really young, and he's already this good at guitar, and I was looking at Joe, and I was like, wow, man, he's just got really good timing and bass, and I was like just thinking about the whole situation as a whole. And that's really what I was looking for. I was looking for a band that had a lot of raw talent that didn't necessarily have like, like the knowledge or the skills to like really get themselves out there in like a real way or whatever, as far as like marketing and things like that. And I kind of just looked at their situation. I looked at their online presence and stuff like that. I was like, man, I was like, if we took their talent and we just combined it with like an actual like plan to go forward and stuff like that, and like somebody actually working on them like daily and stuff like that, like we could just do so much
most
with this.
Most artists need that.
Yeah.
I mean, most artists really like.
Not all artists say that though, and not all artists are actually willing to
do the work.
Accepted.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
So it just depends. I mean, I've seen two things happen. I have art. You have artists who aren't willing to actually put in the work, but they say they are. And then you have artists who are like just period, like they do not like they, like they feel like anybody telling them anything is like somebody giving them an order.
Before you bring a band on, do you see how they take that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And if they don't, then that's
a yeah. Oh, 100%.
Like deal breaker.
The Dead Coats, like we laugh about it now, but you know, like they, you know, it's like they felt like they were being tested, you know, like all the time. Cause it was like, I told them like after I agreed to sign them, like I talked to them, I'm like, look guys, you know, there's real like amounts of money going forth here. There's real things on the line and stuff like that. So I know that, you know, it might've been stressful, like going through that for a while and, you know, not knowing like, hey, you know, is he going to sign us and stuff like that? But you can't just take people's words for it. You got to work with them a little bit. You got to see how they actually like act. You've got to like, you know them over a sustained amount of time and see what they do, you know, like, so we did little stuff together. We did a little single where we recorded, it was called like Head Spent or something like that. And we did like a little video for it. I saw how they acted during the course of this little video. I saw how they were going to go record this single. We do little shows where I'd say, okay, I'll help you guys promote it and stuff like that. And I would see how they worked with me. I would see what they did on their own, because I know like when I'm at a show, I know who I brought to the show. So if I see other people there, like whoever else I'm seeing, like I know that that's you like working on it and you brought those people in, you know, so it was just little things like that. And you get comfortable after a while, you know, you start, you know, I started getting really comfortable with Lauren, you know, as like a leader of the band and as somebody who was, you know, very, you know, motivated to succeed, somebody who was very like business minded, somebody who was very like willing to, you know, accept like help and stuff like that. So, I mean, and the rest of the band was like the same way and stuff. So, yeah.
And she's a killer front person.
Right. No, I mean, that's really, I mean, that was.
That's the thing.
Really, that was
the
first thing that caught me about the Dead Coats was hearing Lauren's voice live. Like when I heard Lauren's voice live, that was like the very first thing. And I was like, okay.
Do you have different deals, structures for the different needs of each artist, or is there a general sort of like descent kind of, I mean, you don't have to get into specifics,
yeah, sure,
but you
sure.
can kind of explain what you put in and what you ask
right.
for
no,
in return.
I'm very open to different situations. I mean, I anticipate there are going to be situations in the future where somebody might have like a lot going on already on their end, and they don't necessarily need to have, you know, somebody fund this certain
right.
amount or fund
right.
that amount. So I don't necessarily need to sign them into any like, you know, contract where, you know, they owe me money or they this or this or that, because maybe they just want help with something very specific. And then there's also people like somebody like the Dead Coats who kind of need help all around and need to be like really like worked on and like, you know, and helped with, and they need money for their record and they need this and that, you know.
Right.
So there's all kinds of situations that I'm open to.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all basically dependent on the artist's
what
needs.
Does the artist need? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is the artist at right now? What can I actually help them with? Like I'm just so straightforward with people that I would never try to get an artist into a situation where it was good for me and not good for them. You know, it's like, and I know that's easy to say, but I mean, it's true. I mean, somebody like Jake Lloyd, is just a perfect example of just like a win-win situation between
yeah.
a label and an artist. He needs exactly what we can give him,
yeah.
and we need him.
Yeah.
So it was just like, we loved his music. We love what he has going.
Yeah.
He's already like made a name for himself,
yeah.
and he needs our help on that side. So it was just win-win, and we both felt like that beforehand. We both felt like that after we made the decision, after we announced it to everybody. I mean, it's just like a perfect example of a really like harmonious situation where both like there's no way for it to go bad really for the artist. Like the worst that could happen is that you wouldn't get as much out of it as you wanted, you know, or something
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
You know, so,
right.
Yep.
I'm glad that you focus on development, because I feel like that's the part of the music, the big music industry, the major label stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Now they basically want you to have everything like
ready to go.
Have a couple million followers already.
Yeah.
Have your almost like a Billie Eilish kind of model. Like the
right.
record's already been made.
Yeah.
In your room with your brother.
Yeah.
And now they just need to put it out and take the money for
but
it.
But I mean, that is the part of it that makes me feel good, though. That's how I get, like, my reward, you know? I mean, it's not exactly, you know, when you're working with, you know, artists and you're working, like, on an independent label, right? It's not like it's, like, some kind of cash cow. Like, you get so much of a reward, though, from seeing these artists truly grow. Like, I mean, I can look back. I mean, like when I look back at the dead coats, you know, it's like I joke around with them and I call them, you know, like my little angels and stuff like that. But when I look back on like when I very, very first met them, it really is almost like they were like little kids back then. And now I've seen them grow into these like full-fledged, they were adults when I met them, but that's what it feels like to me. That is the very like rewarding part when you, I mean, you have no idea how it feels like now, like when I, when I'm watching the dead coats play, because I remember being back there. I remember being at the Lost Well or something with like 10 people around, and I remember them, their show being, you know, nobody knows what's going on over here, nobody's going over there. And then I watch them play now and I'm just sitting there like, yeah, like nail it. Like I don't even have to think about it. I'm like, yo, wait for this part right here, watch what's about to happen right here, you know. That's what I'm like sitting there like the whole time thinking, you know.
So. How do you like? You make vinyl? Do you do CDs and stuff?
Well, we did make like a CD for the Dead Coat specifically because like there was at the time, you know, like with their like fan base and whatever, there was a specific market where we knew like right off the bat like certain people were gonna buy the CD. But as a whole, we probably wouldn't really get into the CD game too much. Like we make the vinyls. We do, you know, if we have that sort of an agreement with an artist, we will like pay for an artist's record. If we have an agreement with, you know, to provide, you know, video funding, you know, we're going to provide video funding. Right. But yeah, as far as like CDs and stuff, but I mean, we focus on everything, and we help them on all sides of it. Like we put out the vinyl, but we're also like heavily focused on, you know, the streaming side of it too.
Sure.
Selling digital copies of the album, like all kinds of stuff. So.
How do you deal, like how do you feel about Spotify and like just sort of the percentage rate
that you get? It sucks. It's rough, and but unfortunately, like right now, you know, as like a label, there's not much I can do as far as you know, not interacting with like Spotify at all.
And you kind of have to, because that's where the business is.
Such a big part of the game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I had like hopes, you know, like years ago that, you know, somebody like, I remember when Jay-Z listened in Tidal.
Right.
I had like a lot of hopes that was going to become like as big as like Spotify or something. And just nobody's been able to like come even close.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it is obviously like a huge issue. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous in a way because it's like, I mean, you hardly make any money off of it anyways. And people who like you can literally just like somebody could go on there and like download a program to like stream to like constantly stream their own music on Spotify and like make it seem like they've got, you know, all these streams when they like really don't. So
I never even thought of doing that.
Yeah. So the whole that. Yeah, no, there's people who do it. Trust me, I've had people email like the record label before, and they'll say, yeah, look how many streams we got and stuff like that. And then I'll go look at all their stuff online, and I'm like, you guys got no following at all. Like, what
right,
are you talking about?
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
And then, I mean, you only have to, like, you can do the math, like, real quick and just realize, oh, they've got, you know, an illegal program that they downloaded, and it's just, you know, constantly streaming their album. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's the problem, is there's just so much to that. I mean, but
it's like the payola of yesterday, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, there's not, it really does suck. Like Spotify revenue sucks. I mean, I think even with like, what is it? Like Apple is like almost like double. I think it is. Yeah. Double like what you would get each stream and stuff like that. So it's just kind of silly at this point that they haven't been able to like figure out like a system where they could give like a couple more cents a stream or something like that. It's kind of at least meet Apple, you know, at least meet what Apple's doing or something, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, so you said you have three releases coming out on vinyl,
right? Yeah, so we put an order on for Rule Thomas's album, so that's going to be the very next like vinyl that's released. That's going to be the very next album that's released. We're putting the vinyl on order for Blaze X Black very soon, so that's going to be the next album that's released after that. And then probably before sometime this summer, before the end of the summer, we're going to get Jake Lloyd's vinyl on order as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, the plan going forward right now is that we're going to be dropping three albums this year.
Okay, so, and then Dead Coats will be dropping something in 2023.
Right. Yeah. They're right now, like this first half of the year, they're going to be still heavily concentrated on like promoting this album. Literally on Friday, we have a massive video release for Fire Again's next single.
Yeah.
So Fire Again's the single that's coming out now. We're going to have that playing on the radio. We're going to get this video release, run some ads for it and stuff like that. And then probably a couple of months from now, they'll probably put out at least one more single from that album. And then over the summer is really like the time when they could start thinking about, you know, okay, like what are we going to do? But yeah, at this point in time, like we even though the album's been out for like a little while now, we for so much of it, the shutdown was going on.
Yeah.
So we haven't been able to really get out there with it as much as we should.
Right.
So yeah, we're still going to be working on Big Wish for a while with the Dead Coats.
That's good, man. It's a great record.
Yeah.
I had them on here about that record.
Yeah, I think it was before it was released, but yeah, they were like talking about it. But yeah, if you like, make sure you give me your address, man, because I'll definitely get you a copy of that vinyl. It's a beautiful vinyl. I mean, like the insides are speckled, and like each color is like, it's like a Easter egg where it's like each one has a different speckled pattern.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's like, yeah, it's a beautiful record. They did a great job, and I'll definitely get you a copy of that over.
Yeah, I'd love
that. We gotta get you some Descent merch too. I mean, we have
I was jonesing on your shirt. I was like, that's a nice shirt.
Got the blue bonnets going and stuff like that. So yeah, we've got some cool shirts. I mean, we've got some stickers and stuff, and you know, like we're actually like creating a lot of stuff that we didn't really have need for at the beginning. Like we had a website, but we never really made a Bandcamp because we still hadn't had enough like vinyl releases.
Right.
But now that we have all these vinyl releases, we're actually putting up our Descent Records Bandcamp. You know, this month we have a label Spotify playlist coming out. There's like a massive update of the website happening. So there's like really like a lot of stuff happening. We're just kind of excited that like we can actually do more stuff now. And
yeah,
you know, we do have this showcase coming up, but I mean, I'm not you know, really, you know, as like a record label owner, like I'm not really, you know, looking to get too heavy into like the event game and stuff like that. Most of the time when I do events and I really like concentrate heavily on promoting event, it's going to be an event that is, you know, for example, like specifically for some kind of like showcase or event that's going on, or when an artist is actually on my label is actually releasing an album or a video.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, I'm not really, that's not our game. I mean, you don't see, once you get to a certain level where you have a certain number of artists, you have a certain amount of like commitments, you just really don't have time to like put on regular like shows events and stuff. Yeah. There's just no way. So
Is it just you, like Descent Records? Is you?
Oh, yeah,
you
there's
several other people.
Yeah, there's several different people that like kind of work and stuff like that. But you know, in various areas and stuff like that. But a lot of what I have is you know, people that are you know, people that I pay for various stuff. Like for example, you know, on the legal side, I don't know if you're familiar with Alicia Zachow. She's like a entertainment lawyer here in Austin. But I've been working with her since like way, you know, since before the label even launched. I mean, she's the one who did the copyright. She's the one who did our trademark, cool, all that kind of stuff. So, I work with her on something like that. And then I've got somebody that, you know, I like anytime I need something, you know, created or done online or something like that, I have somebody that I work with that. Or, you know, there's times where we need to, you know, like work with like licensing and stuff. Like, so maybe we work with like Frog, you know, Publishing or something.
Right.
You know, there's all these different things. You know, it's like I feel like, you know, at the beginning it was more okay to have like various people helping with stuff. But as we get like more busier and stuff like that, I find myself like needing to kind of have eyes on like a lot of stuff that's
right.
going on. So it's it's a lot easier for me to just take a company that specializes in a certain area
right.
and work with them on that.
As opposed to an army of interns
I have tried that. We've had several like different like kind of interns and stuff like that. And, you know, people were fine, but it was just like that is like one thing that I realized, that it's like the bigger you get, the harder it is to have random people running around
right.
like planning stuff themselves.
Right.
And it's too hard to have that. It really is easier to keep it like very consolidated and just have like a very small circle of people who are actually making the decisions, and then you can kind of spread out from
and
there.
Empowering the bands to
right.
take over a lot of stuff that there's, you know, there's a lot of stuff band people can do. Man, this it's just like the cold front's blowing.
Yeah, right. No, this feels great though. I mean, it's unbelievable out here. I love the view. I love the weather right now. I mean, it was you know what really sucked about like this whole like little bit of like snow and ice that we got this year was, you know, it was like it's like the worst. It's like almost like we got like the worst part of it, like just the cold and the sleet and stuff like that. And we didn't have like one single day where there was actually
beautiful
like just
snow.
A nice amount of snow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's the part, that's the best part of winter. You know, it's like when I was living in Ithaca, I hated having to dig my car out every time I went outside. I hated how the salt on the roads ate through my tires.
Yeah.
I didn't like a lot of that stuff. But I loved waking up to like a fresh snow when I didn't have to go anywhere or something like that, and just sitting outside on the porch and having a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something about it, you know, and like it's like that's the thing about Texas is that you really only get that like in Austin. What is it like? Maybe once every 4 or 5 years is there like a really heavy snow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just snow at all.
Yeah, or just nothing. Yeah, yeah. It goes through a lot. So this year, unfortunately, it was like, you know, it's like we had that like cold snap or whatever, but that's all it was just cold, cold and rainy and stuff.
What's the showcase you have that you were talking about, that you have one showcase?
Yeah, so it's called Work Hard, Play Hard, Not South by Southwest. And it was one of the very first shows that we ever did. We did it literally like 2 days before the shutdown. And we wanted to like kind of celebrate like things being back and stuff like that, so we decided we'd do it again this year. And it's going to be a kick butt. There's 9 bands. There's a DJ. There's going to be 2 stages. Vanessa, you know, DJ Pizza Burden is going to be like working vinyls and stuff like that. And we've got 3 out of our 4 like artists that are signed right now are going to be on the showcase. Blaze is coming from Houston. Roll's going to be playing it. Dead Coats are going to be headlining with Holy Death Trio. So it's going to be a great show. And there's a variety. I mean, there's a band.
When is that?
It's on the 11th. Next month, yeah. And there's a band coming in from Japan stuff. So
awesome.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff going on with that. But yeah, you know, like I said, that's kind of like a one off. I mean, we probably will do something like that every year around South by time, but you know, I'm not really big on like I can plan an event and I can promote the hell out of it, but I'm not really big on like I love basically just like getting into like my own headspace and just going about all these promotion things that I know how to like. That's fun to me, but sitting there, you know, talking back and forth with bands, like trying to book them for the show and the times, that's not me.
Yeah.
That's not like what I want to do and stuff like that. But I love seeing like the looks on, you know, people's faces when they see how many people show up to an event. And you know, they're not sure what happened or like what. It's like, actually, there was just like this 34-year-old guy who was just like directly reaching out to people, like DMing them, you know, telling them to get to the event and stuff like that. And that's why you see all these random people here right now, you know. But it's like some, like not all artists like understand that, you know, like you can put that like level of commitment into an event, you know,
right,
and stuff like
right.
that. So they're just like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, we barely did anything to promote this. I can't believe there's so many people here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, yeah, there's a trick to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, we're expecting it to be packed. We're expecting it to be like a great night, and I'm expecting it to just really be like a celebration, to just be able to really like sit there and enjoy the fact that we can hold the show like one more time after, you know, literally, you know, just going through this crazy experience like 2 days after we threw this showcase the first time. So
yeah. Well, dude, congratulations, man. It seems like you've really, like, you've gotten a good hold on the idea of what it is to have a label and to develop artists and to put music out. And so far, all the artists, I went and listened to them today, they're fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really driven to do this. And I, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, I'm this person who, you know, even though I don't really like seek the spotlight now, I you know, I have to be honest and just say, like, I'm the type of person who just I want there to be like a legacy. Like, I want to leave a legacy.
Sure.
Like, when I'm dead, I want, you know, 30 years after I'm dead, you know, to have some like random mention of me in the Austin Chronicle. You know what
sure.
I mean? Like, that's what I want.
Yeah,
know?
Man.
That's what I'm looking for. So I'm just going to keep going and keep working as hard as I can. And we're going to keep, you know, developing artists and bringing artists on and just releasing like, you know, awesome music here. And, you know, looking forward right now to just, you know, getting to work with Jake Lloyd and giving him the opportunity he deserves, because he's somebody that's been at it for like a long time, really talented, and you know, can't think of anybody who deserves this push, you know, more.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, dude, thank you so much for doing the show. People can find you guys at descentrecords.com. You're all over the socials as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely. Yep.
And
absolutely.
Check out all the bands: the Dead Coats, Rule Thomas, Blaze X Black, and Jake Lloyd.
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so
dude,
much.
Thanks
for
doing the show.
Absolutely.
That's Jeff Grounds, founder of Descent Records, Austin-based label. Find them at descentrecords.com. Again, congratulations to the Dead Coats for winning Best Rock Band at the Austin Music Awards last week. And congratulations to Jeff. Get out there and go to Descent Records and find out when else they'll be having bands playing all week during the South By. And enjoy your South By Southwest. And hey, gang, don't forget, when you're out there checking out Descent Records, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, like these episodes, wherever it is you stream. podcasts. Wherever it is you stream or download podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Spotify, Stitcher, new shows all the time. We're doing three shows this week. Andrew Cashin from Sweet Spirit and a Giant Dog will be my guest on Wednesday. And then the Ghost Wolves on Friday. Yeah, lots of great music, all right? Let's hear the rest of this song, Fire Again by the Deadcoats. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Enjoy South by Southwest. Don't drink too much. Let's get down.